Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 63, Aftermarket Parts. All bad? Well, the short answer is yes and no. Sometimes the aftermarket, I mean, this was probably more so in the past, but sometimes the aftermarket will actually look at a part that they know through experience is becoming an issue out in the market as far as with repairs and what, you know, feedback from shops and customers and so on and so forth. And so sometimes the aftermarket manufacturers will actually design and make a part that solves a problem that the OEM, the original manufacturer, doesn't seem to be concerned about. They keep making, you know, they know there's a problem. Maybe it hasn't created enough of an issue, like when the car was under warranty or something like that, to where they, you know, the red flags go up and they realize, okay, we've got to do a, you know, better design on this part. Sometimes they just don't really do anything about it. Probably in the world of BMW and certainly people that know BMWs, whether it be through ownership and driving them, or maybe they've done some of the repairs themselves on the car, or they've simply gone out and asked a few questions. Probably the biggest one really in the relatively recent past, was on the, M52 and M54 motors. This would be 3 and 5 series mostly cars, and this would be from like the early to mid 90s up through about 04-05 model year. Water pumps, for some reason BMW started going with what's called a plastic impeller. So in other words, the part that kind of looks, I wouldn't say it's a fan blade, but let's just, if you think of the idea, the impeller is what is actually moving the coolant. And so they went to a plastic impeller. And what would happen is that the hub or the center area of that impeller would crack. And so basically, even though the water pump was turning internally, the impeller would do nothing. And so the car would overheat. And when this was first happening, even professional technicians had a hard time finding out or figuring out it until it became a well-known item to know about, that what was actually happening, okay? Because externally, you couldn't see anything wrong with the pump. It wasn't leaking, nothing like that. And what the aftermarket did was to go back to a metal impeller, which, of course, would not crack, and it wouldn't cause that problem. So that's probably, you know, in my case, thinking through the past and what the aftermarket has done from a positive standpoint, that's probably the thing that comes to mind that, they actually solved the problem and made, quote unquote, a better part. Okay. The sad part is that this doesn't really seem to happen so much anymore. Again, I can only speak of, you know, my world of working on BMWs. It's quite possible if you look across the whole car line of manufacturers that maybe the aftermarket is doing, you know, a good job or a better job for other cars, you know, other brands of cars. I can't speak about that. Okay, but I certainly can speak about what I know about for BMWs and, let's say, German cars in general. It seems like now the motivating factor really, and this is even true of OEM and OES suppliers, and I'll talk about what that is and the difference here in a moment, but it seems like now the motivating factor really is if they're going to make a part different, is to make it lower priced. So And their reason for doing that, it actually encompasses, they're looking for lowest price over anything else or everything else. So it becomes, what's the quality of it? Who knows? Was it made from the right materials? Who knows? What's the warranty? Well, good luck on that. Okay. And this is all as compared to original equipment manufacturer or original equipment supplier. So, that's the motivating factor, is the lowest price. The sad part about it is that you can have situations where the same well-known manufacturer, this would mean well-known meaning those of us that work on these cars every day, and we've been doing it for a long time, we certainly start to recognize, as for instance, BMW, I mean, they certainly do not make hardly any of the parts that actually go in the car. And so they go to vendors, i.e. outside manufacturers who make, you know, cooling system components, air conditioning components, suspension components, you know, electronic components, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So there are times where these different outside vendor type manufacturers will work with the car manufacturer in regards to the design of a particular part. Maybe yes, maybe no, as far as them doing that. It might be something where, you know, BMW says, okay, we need this part. It's got to have these specs. You guys figure it out, you know, give us a bid, and we'll decide whether we're going to buy it from you or not. Okay. And so, the thing that's happening nowadays is that the same manufacturers will make different levels or different grades of that same part. Okay. This didn't used to happen in the past. Okay. And of course they'll sell these different levels or different grades of this part at different price levels. Okay. And again, with possibility of different warranties, it's amazing how it makes a challenge for professional shops to, you know, find out, well, although I used to be able to buy this part from this manufacturer through outside sources, now I can't, if I want to put in a quality part, I can't do that anymore because now they're making this part cheaper, which seems like it might be good. It's a cheaper part. It's easier to sell. Okay. But guess what? It's not the same part. Okay. Let me talk about OEM versus OES versus aftermarket. Okay. An OEM means original equipment manufacturer. It means that company that's making that part for, in this case, BMW or whoever, it is either made to the specs that in this case, BMW required, okay, or that they came up with as this is the part, you know, and over time they realize that, hey, it's a good part, it lasts long, this is the price, that's the way it is. Maybe it actually has the brand BMW or whatever stamped into it, etched into it, molded into it, whatever. Okay, so if you go to a dealership and buy that part, that's what you're getting, an original equipment manufacturer part. Years ago, if you could buy that part through the outside, like through wholesale distributors, okay, like a lot of shops can, neither one of us, because it wasn't going through the dealer network, they weren't getting any of their markup, okay? So yes, it was the same part as if you had bought it from a dealer, but nobody was paying the dealer markup, so it could be had and purchased for less money, okay? That was the process many years ago as far as OEM. Then there's what's called OES, original equipment supplier. And basically what that means is that, yes, it's the same manufacturer that's making that OEM part, but that original equipment supplier part may or may not be the same as the OEM. And this is where we kind of are now, and this is where it starts getting real interesting as far as you're buying a part that is a name brand part because you know that manufacturer's name, but you're not necessarily getting the same part as if you bought that part from the manufacturer or from BMW in this case, from the same manufacturer. Okay, that's called OES. So basically it's opened up where you have this big question mark. Okay, and then you have actual true aftermarket, in which case the aftermarket would be, it's a manufacturer who never made that part for the car manufacturer ever. They've just decided to get into the parts manufacturing business, and they, you know, have either taken a part off the shelf and they've reverse engineered it, maybe. Or they've just come up with their own design. And again, that's not to say that it's a bad part. It could be. It could also be solving a problem that nobody else seemed to care about, which in that case, that would be a very good aftermarket part. It could be questionable quality. Then again, it could be, you know, good, decent quality. And again, because you're not buying it from BMW or an OEM, you are getting a less expensive part. It just doesn't necessarily mean that it's as good or a better part. Okay. So that's the difference between OEM, OES, and aftermarket. It really, for the professional repair shops, it's become challenging, frankly. Shops that specialize like I do, or shops that, let's say, that only work on European cars and they only work on Asian cars or domestics or whatever, we're going to find out, you know, through trial and error that, hey, this part that we used to get from this manufacturer is not the same part as if we bought that part through the dealer network. And there are definitely some instances out there where we found out the hard way that the only way I can really, you know, keep my warranty and be feel good about what I'm doing with the car and what parts I'm installing is when I do that's this particular repair, I'm going to source this part from the dealer, okay? Because anything else, it becomes questionable, okay? And so, you know, as a car owner, if you care about your car, certainly asking for OEM only, yes, that's fine, that's great. You're going to be paying probably top dollar for it, okay? Part of that question-answer period should be, what is the shop's warranty, okay? Most of your OEM parts are going to have a decent warranty, certainly at least 1 year, hopefully 2 years. There may or may not be any kind of a mileage limitation on it. It just depends on the manufacturer. BMW specifically is 2 years, no mileage limitation, okay? So it's the clock starts, 2 years later, the warranty's over with, okay? Every manufacturer is kind of different potentially. Some have a better warranty, more time, whatever. Other ones, not so much, maybe 1 year. That's up to them. But, I guess what I'm really trying to say here is on this podcast is I'm trying to educate you as far as, yes, there's just a ton of parts that are available out there. I mean, frankly, when I go to one of my wholesale distributors, internet-based catalog, I could punch in a BMW part number, and what's available to me is everything from genuine, in other words, the actual real BMW part, all the way to some, you know, aftermarket supplier that I would never even consider using, okay, on a customer's car, or even my own, frankly, okay. Just because certainly it's the lowest price doesn't mean it's the best part. The odds are it's not. I mean, unless all you care about is the lowest price. And if that's the case, fine. In some respects, someone could question why you bought a BMW in particular, because they're not cheap cars. So, I mean, whatever, it's your car. But just understand that, you know, there's a reason sometimes that taking the car to a repair shop, or for that matter, even you buying, you know, the best high quality parts available, they're not cheap. Okay. And if cheap is what's important to you, then, you know, go ahead. I'm not saying there aren't shops that are willing to put on the cheapest part, but frankly, if a customer said to me, "Brad, I want you to find out what's wrong with my car, and I want the cheapest parts available." Okay. I'm going to probably stop at that right at that point, and we're going to have a little discussion of why are they asking for that. And depending upon what the repair is, I may not even do the repair, okay? There's a number of liability issues there. There's warranty issues. My advice to them probably might be something like, you know, "I'm sorry, but I just don't do that kind of work," okay? Because my reputation goes along with the repair. It doesn't really matter that the customer wants the least expensive part. Nobody remembers that when the repair doesn't last very long, or it potentially puts people into a possible safety type issue. Okay. I've had people ask me to do things that I've, you know, nicely refused. And some of them had to do with safety, potential safety issues like traction control systems and stuff like that. I've had people want me to put on parts that were highly questionable of where they came from and are they even going to work, you know. And my response sometimes is, why don't you just fix the car yourself then? You know, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Well, then maybe if you don't know how to do it and you have no experience in it, how do you know that you're getting the right part for it? Okay. Those of us that do this every day, we probably have a little bit more experience as far as where to get parts and what brands to use and so on and so forth. So, getting back to this different part type thing from the same manufacturer, and I've mentioned this before in another podcast, but, there was a situation where Behr, B-E-H-R, which is a German manufacturing company, they basically do cooling system components and AC system components and heater, climate control, in other words, and cooling, engine cooling system components. They've been around since time began, okay? They're a huge company. They're German. And in the past, when you bought a Behr part, you were getting a part that potentially had a BMW logo stamped on it somewhere that may have been ground off, okay, because there was some sort of agreement between BMW and Behr that, yes, Behr certainly made the part for BMW, but unless it was sold through a BMW dealer network, they had to grind the, it couldn't have the logo on it anymore, okay. So there would be some process where they would make the part with the logo and then manually remove it and then sell it to the outside world, okay? Well, as a repair shop owner, you knew you were getting the same part as if you had bought it from a BMW dealer, but the logo was gone, okay? That was the only difference. Well, as time went on and we went to a, world economy and world supply of parts and so on and so forth, some of these different companies either bought or started, manufacturing plants in China or Taiwan or Mexico or whatever the case may be, and they started making parts. We're not talking about clones or fake parts that are trying to be this is made by the same company who does make the part for the car manufacturer, but because of either some sort of contractual agreement or just they decide, hey, we're going to make the same part, but we're going to make it less expensively, okay, and offer it to the outside world. The thing is, and this is where, shops got into trouble, is that we found out the hard way that it was actually not the same part, okay? It was made to lesser standards with maybe different materials. It probably had a not as good of a guarantee. The sad part was that we had no way of knowing any of this until as time went by and, repair shops found out the hard way that it was no longer the same part, okay? So I was even at, I belonged to an independent BMW technical group, and I was at one of our annual meetings, and when we brought in as a guest speaker the CEO of a huge aftermarket parts distribution warehouse type network, okay, we're talking about a company that has warehouses all over the country, okay, and he went to a meeting where there was a number of the different CEOs or whoever from these different companies that make these different parts, and they got talking about, we know you guys are making different quality of the same part, okay, why are you doing this? As far as you didn't let anybody know, you just started selling parts at a lower price, and all the shops out there all thought they were getting the same thing, and we had to find out the hard way that no, we weren't. Why didn't you at least let us know, or what's the motivation here? Well, it's because we can sell more parts because they're lower priced. Okay, but don't you care about your reputation? Don't you care about your brand name? Okay, your brand recognition? And basically the response was, look, we're just looking at, sales and moving product. And if it's lower priced, we sell more of them. So there we are. And it was, he was flabbergasted. Okay. And he's going, well, that's fine. But don't you think you should let your customer know that, hey, there's a reason there's a different price here. Okay. Maybe it doesn't have as good of a warranty, or that, yes, it's lower priced, but here's different maybe grades or levels of this part, and let the customer decide. I mean, you basically threw the repair shops under the bus and they had to find out the hard way. What do you think you did to your name? And you know what? According to him, they didn't seem to really care because they were moving parts. Okay. So that's what we as repair shops had to put up with and learn from. And I think, again, this is where I recommend, you know, taking your car to a specialist, because they're going to be aware of this stuff, certainly a lot more common than a general repair shop that works on anything that rolls in, okay? They're not going to hear about this or know about it on your particular car necessarily, especially if you do have a, you know, let's say like a European car or something they don't work on very often. They're not going to know about this situation. So in a lot of respects, potentially, when they're looking up parts to repair your car, I mean, they certainly are going to know that it's easier for them to sell something that's less price. You know, it's less amount to purchase for them, which means if they're saving money on it, they're going to hopefully pass that savings on to you. Of course, the other option, honestly, they could be getting the lowest price part they can, and they're still charging you as if it was for an OEM part, okay, which that's just, you know, that's double trouble. There are shops that will operate that way, frankly, okay? They're looking at it as they're going to make the maximum profit. They're putting a part on that all they hope for is that it gets through the warranty period, so that if and when it goes bad, now they can do the repair again and charge you again. Okay. This is where it's important when you're, I mean, these are all different things I've talked about in other podcasts, but this is where it's important that you, when you're, whether you're price shopping car repair or you're trying to find a good shop that you want to start going to and hopefully build a trust relationship with them, is to ask questions. And part of it is, you know, where do they get their parts from, as far as, are they OEM only? Are they OEM and OES? Is there aftermarket parts? What is the shop's warranty? Okay. Because when you're price shopping car repair, or you're contemplating taking your car to a particular shop, the warranty they offer is part of it. Okay. It's part of that transaction and you're paying for it. So you should know and find out, you know, what is the warranty on their repairs? Because obviously if they're only going to warranty something for whatever, 90 days, 6 months, whatever the case may be, hopefully it's at least a year. I mean, a year minimum, okay? Unless we start talking about used parts, but that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother story, okay? I'm not going to get involved or get into that in this particular podcast, but a podcast episode you may want to check out is episode number 15. It's called Customer Supply Parts, Really? Okay. because, you know, again, even though a customer may have bought what we all recognize as being a quote-unquote name brand part, I don't know where they got it from. And it could be the lowest level of that part that's available out there. And so they want me to put it on, which then means that the professional repair shop is taking on all the liability. Okay. You know, consumer protection laws are out there, and guess what? They're written to protect the consumer. Okay. There's really no protection there necessarily for the shop owner. Okay. That's why they're called consumer protection laws. Okay. So the idea that a person could say, well, okay, Mr. Shop Owner, I want to supply the parts. Well, we all know why, because you think you're going to save money, maybe. So the consumer wants to supply the parts, okay, which means that the shop owner now, the shop is now losing control of the repair process. They're taking on all the liability, okay, and they're putting in an unknown quantity or unknown quality part. Okay, that's not a good scenario. And as a shop owner myself, I would never put myself in that situation. Okay, unless we're talking about a light bulb or something. Okay, something minor that, you know, I can put it in and it works and it's low dollar and so on and so forth. Okay, but frankly, 99.9% of the time, I would not install a customer supplied part. Okay, that's me. And if somebody wants to know, you know, more about that, you know, again, I would definitely check out that episode number 15, because I definitely dwell more into why it's not a good idea. But it's really the customer is trying to open up. What they don't realize is they're opening up a huge can of worms that just maybe won't ever even stop. Okay. And the idea that a customer thinks they can sign away, you know, willingly and knowingly sign away their right to a warranty or sign some sort of a disclaimer that says, hey, I'm the customer, I supplied the parts, I do not hold the shop liable for anything. Unfortunately, in the court of law, that means absolutely nothing. Okay. Because again, consumer protection law, as a consumer, you cannot sign away your right to a warranty. Okay. I mean, you can, but it won't hold up in court, because it's going to go to your favor, okay, as the consumer or the owner of the vehicle in this case, okay? It's going to go to your favor because consumer protection law basically looks at it that they just figure that most consumers are ignorant, okay, that you didn't understand what the situation was, okay? So what happens is now the repair shop is now held liable to whatever their normal warranty would be, okay? Whatever warranty they normally offer on a repair, they still have to be held by that legally if things start going sideways in the court of law. Because what ends up happening is the judge says, well, Mr. Shop Owner, you put the part that the customer supplied on the car. By doing that, you are implying that it's the right part, it's the right part for the car, that it's a quality part, and that you were okay with installing it on the car, because otherwise, why would you? Okay. Well, we don't know where the part came from. We don't have x-ray vision. How are we supposed to know that it's the right part and it's a quality part? We don't. Okay. But, you know, maybe you're just the shop owner's trying to do the customer a favor and they're trying to save him money. And maybe it's slow that week and they're figured, hey, well, at least we'll get the labor time out of it and labor dollars and so on and so forth. So it just gets... it can get real hairy real quick. So that's basically it about aftermarket parts. They're not inherently all bad. They're not inherently all good. It's, like I say, it's really, in the last probably, probably about 15 to 18 years, it's become harder and harder to, be able to go and actually get a quality part. And know you're getting a quality part. That's the whole thing, okay? If you're working on your own car, that's okay if you want to get the least expensive part. But certainly find out what the warranty is on it, okay? Find out how long the company's been in business. If you're buying it from eBay or whatever, well, you're buying a part from someone who decided they wanted to start a small parts business out of their garage. So where are they going to be if and when that part does go bad and you have a warranty issue? How quickly are they going to be able to get you another part? And what happens if that part ends up, messing up a system, a safety system or something, and now you have an accident, okay? Do they have insurance? Okay. What if you are the cause of an accident and you've killed other people? Now they're suing you and maybe you did the repair, okay? Again, consumer protection laws does protect you to a point, okay? But, it's gotten a little bit hard. And I say that from the standpoint of this is something I've certainly had to learn and go through as a professional. And so me having to deal with this every day and learning, and, yes, it's kind of frustrating. It was for a while. And you learn and you make changes and where you buy parts from and so on and so forth. And, you go ahead with your life, okay? But just understand that there's all different kinds of parts out there. So good or bad, and low price or, higher price, whatever the case may be, check it out. Find out where they're coming from. Find out what the guarantee or warranty is on the part. So especially if you are doing your own repairs, or there's no reason why you can't ask the shop owner some of these questions. So I hope this has helped you out. It's not all negative out there. I spend thousands of dollars a month on parts and I fix cars and I feel good about what I'm putting on the car and I feel I offer a good warranty. And, life goes on and tomorrow's another day and more cars to fix. So it is all doable. And again, certainly if you're fixing your own car, you know, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's, if you can do it and maybe even get some pleasure out of it. There is certainly a sense of accomplishment by fixing something. So have at it, educate yourself. I've hoped you, you've learned a few things from this particular podcast. And, you know, again, definitely check out that number 15, episode 15 about customer supplied parts. You know, I elaborate more on this, so. Hope you found it enlightening. Appreciate your time. Again, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at with any, you know, comments, concerns, so on and so forth, things you'd like me to talk about at bkpodcast5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And again, I certainly, my repair shop is in Newbury Park, California. It's called Brad's Motor Works. And been there for quite a few years. So if you ever want to, if you're in the Southern California area and specifically Thousand Oaks, Newbury Park area, you know, stop by, say hi, and we can chat about different things. So appreciate your time. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.